update on the work in Mexico. It's an update on what the Lord is doing all over the world, what the Lord is doing here. We're so thankful for His faithfulness to His Word, to call out His people in His time by the preaching of the gospel. The church in Merida is doing well. We have a problem. We're going to have to knock out one of the back walls. So the Lord is adding to this church in Merida. But we're so thankful for the privilege to be there and go and preach where the Lord opens the doors to preach. We're going every 2 weeks to the mission in Cancun, Mexico, and this is the city of Cancun. And we're also broadcasting live the services that are held in Merida, so that we've got response from many places and all over the world where people are watching the broadcast. And we're thankful for that door the Lord has opened. And we're going Saturday nights and preaching in the town of Villobain. The pastor there is 82. Pastor Rutilio has lost his voice. So for the last 4 years, we've been going there preaching on Saturday night. And Brother Elio, pastor from Zitzantun, has been going there Sunday afternoon at 6, and then he leaves there after the service and goes back to his village and has the service in Zitzantun. The preacher school is meeting. Of course, we're on break right now, but we're meeting still, and there are all the pastors come in and several students come in, and we study the Word every Monday, and that's a real blessing to everyone, to myself in particular. And we're so thankful for what the Lord has called us to do there. And the church there is the same as the church here. It's no different church. We're preaching the gospel. The ministry of this church here. Your pastor going to different places and preaching and going out over the internet, and the Lord blesses it in His time. So we're thankful for this. We're waiting for the Lord to come, and in meantime, we're just, as it says here, we're the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, to hold fast, to preach the same gospel, and go where the Lord leads us to preach. We're thankful for your fellowship in the gospel for all these many years. And your pastor has been there many times. Last time he was delayed or could not come down, so we're looking forward to having him this year. And so that's what I believe the Lord is doing there. And my mom and dad are doing well. Several of the men asked how they were doing in the study. They're doing well. They're healthy. And my dad is preaching for me tonight, and he's slowed down a little bit, but he's doing well. And my mother's well; she's healthy, and he wants me to get back soon. He said he thinks I'm on vacation, so we're looking forward to getting back. But we appreciate this church and your support and your prayers for us. And not only in Mexico, but what the Lord is doing through this church in many, many different places. And we're in this work together. And it's no different here as it is in Mexico. We're just co-laborers in this work. Thank you, brother. Well, it's a delight to be here with you tonight, and I'm looking forward to getting back to Mexico next week. I've been visiting several churches, and so now we go back next week, and it's a real joy to be here with you tonight, see your faces, and we give thanks to the Lord for his faithfulness to keep us. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130. The scriptures revealed to us, tell us that by nature, all men are dead in trespasses and sins. That's how we come into this world. Enemies to God in our mind, by our works, by our deeds. Enemies to God. All man by nature, without God, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, at that time, you're without God, strangers to the covenant, without God, without hope, without Christ. All men by nature, without Christ, there is no hope. Christ Jesus is the hope. He is the hope. But that's how everybody is by nature. Men by nature are without hope. But I want us to see tonight in this Psalm 130, who has a reason for hope? Do you have a reason for hope? Who is it that has reason for hope? You see there in verse 1, it says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Here's the first thing about those who have hope. Those who have hope are true sinners. True sinners. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. All men are sinners, but not all men know it. Not all men know it. Only those who the Holy Spirit reveals their condition. We see our condition in the light of the gospel, in the light of Jesus Christ is who we see. How we see who we are. Man by nature compares himself with other men. And when you compare yourself and I compare myself with other men, we're always going to find somebody we could stand up to. But when the gospel is preached and the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Lord lights the light and we see who we are by nature, we see who we are by choice and by practice, and we see by the Holy Spirit that we have not believed in God. This is how the Holy Spirit convinces men of sin in that they have not believed on me. That is the sin that condemns a man. We're all sinners, but this is the sin that condemns men, unbelief. And it's this inability. I can't do anything to save myself. No man can do anything. No man can come to God. Out of the depths. This is the depths. The condition we are shown by the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel. True sinners. True sinners. In the preaching of the gospel, we see ourselves as true sinners. You know, you can't offend a sinner by calling him a sinner. A true sinner. My dad has a dog. Some of you have seen him. He's as dumb as a box of rocks. He's a dumb dog. But you know, my dad loves that dog. And I call him a dog every time I see him. But I have yet to offend that dog. I have yet to offend him. And it's the same with God's people. You remember that woman, that Syrophoenician woman, the Lord said to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. You know what that woman said? She said, truth, Lord. I'm your dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs at the master's table. They fall from the master's table. True sinners. And the psalmist saying here, out of the depths. What are these depths? Depths of
of sin, inability. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. The psalmist in Psalm 40 is speaking, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was made sin for us. It says, innumerable evils have compassed me. And it's also the experience of a believer who knows that everything I do is sin. I am sin, and everything I do is sin. It's like a sponge. If you were to put a sponge in a bucket of water, take it out and set it on the table, there's not a place on that sponge you could touch and not get wet. That same thing is true of every man by nature. There's not a place you could touch in his life and not find sin. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. I'm not able to look up. My sins are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. O Lord, be pleased to deliver me. When we come to this condition that we know that there is no hope in us, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. This is the person. This is the person who has hope. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came to, he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So it says here, out of the depths, not a sinner in name only. Everybody will agree that I've done some bad things. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. This is what religion tries to convince men, you know, corner them and say, well, you've done this wrong. You've done that wrong. You're a sinner. Don't you agree? Yeah, I agree. That's not the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Out of the depths, not a sinner in name only, but true. I'm nothing but sin. See, so long as a person has some goodness wherewith he may think he could come before God, that's what he trusts in. That's what he trusts in. In the Old Testament, the leper that would come before the priest would come and show himself to the priest. If there was, he might come and say, look, I've got leprosy all over me, but there's got this one spot that's good. The priest would say, unclean. What if he said, well, I've only got this one little spot. I had this one man come to me. This was recently. After service, he wanted to talk to me. And he said, he was very torn up. And he wanted to talk to me about this one sin. I don't like the people telling me about their one sin. I got enough trash of my own. But they wanted to talk to me about this one sin. He was torn up about it. And crying. And I said, is that all? He said, that's it. I said, well, you've arrived, haven't you? Is that the only problem you have? And that's bad. It was bad, but that's not it. If that's your only problem, you've pretty much arrived. You don't know what your problem is. I said, keep coming. Keep coming. So long as a person has something good. The Apostle Paul said, we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We glory in his person and his work. And we have no confidence in ourselves, in the flesh. Our confidence is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear blind Bartimaeus cry out of the depths of his darkness and his inability? He heard that there was a man called Jesus of Nazareth going about doing all kinds of healings. And one day he heard a commotion and he said, what's that? What's going on? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's walking by. And you know what he said? He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They told him, be quiet. He kept crying out the louder, have mercy on me. This is the person who the Lord hears, the one who cries to the Lord. Notice, here's the second thing. The person who has hope is the one who cries to the Lord. The one who cries to the one who has authority to save. The one who has power to save. Our Lord says this, they have no knowledge who set up the wood of their graven image and pray to a God that cannot save. There are many false Jesus being preached all over this nation, all over the world. They call him Jesus. They say he's God. They say he's sovereign. They say he died for sinners. And now, won't you let him save you? Won't you let him save you? They have no knowledge who set up the wood of their graven image, their idols, their imaginations of who God is. He's a God that cannot save. If he doesn't have the, if he's not God, if it's not the only true God, he has the authority to save or the power to save. Unto thee, O Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah manifest in the flesh. Unto thee, O Lord, do I cry. He has the authority and the power to save his people. One day, some men brought this man that was had the palsy. Palsy, did I say it right? Palsy? He was paralyzed. And they brought him on a stretcher. This is in Mark chapter 9. They brought him on a stretcher and brought him before the Lord. And the Lord said, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Your sins are forgiven you. And the men that were sitting around, they thought, this man blaspheming. They didn't say it out loud. They just thought, this man's blaspheming. They said, no man can forgive sins but God only. That's true. He's the only one that can forgive. All sin is committed against God. And he's the only one that has the right to forgive. And only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to illustrate. If I offend Brother Larry, if I offend him, if I offend you, Brother Larry, I'm offending you, and you're offended. But what would you think? What would you think? Brother Poncho said, well, don't worry about it. I forgive you. He'd say, wait a minute. You don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to do that. But this is what's happening all over the world today when people go into these little boxes and they confess, they feel guilty about something and they confess it to another man, and the man says, well, say, repeat so many prayers and you're absolved. That's blasphemy. They have no right to do so. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to those men, he says, what's easier to say? He said, thy sins are forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk. What's easier to say? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven you. That's easy. But is it done? But is it done? All over the world, people are saying your sins are forgiven you. Don't worry about it. God's not angry with you. God will forgive you. Just do what you can. Do the best you can and God will accept you. Is that it? Only God can forgive sins. He said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, has authority, has right to forgive sins right now. Right now. How could he forgive him his sins? Because he was going to bear the sins of his people in his own body and pay the price. That's how God can forgive sin, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that you may know that I have power to forgive sins on the earth. He said to the man, take up your bed and walk. And the man got up and took up his bed and walked out. Pray to the one who can say. This is why we preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. We preach the truth, who he is, what he came to do. There is no salvation in any other but the Lord Jesus Christ. unto thee, O Lord, unto the Lord, not unto a man, not unto a church, not unto some doctrine, not unto the Virgin Mary, but unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto thee do I cry. Call on the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, if you will, look over there with me. Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's not a recipe. That's not a recipe on how to be saved. That's what religion says. Well, there you go. Call on the name of the Lord, and he's going to save you. They got it backwards. That's not a recipe on how to be saved. A person calls on the name of the Lord because the Lord already worked in his heart. A baby doesn't cry to get life. A baby cries because he is alive. When a baby cries when he's born, he cries because he has life. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in mercy. Rich unto all that call upon him. What a promise. He's rich. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now watch this. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? Is belief the cause of your salvation? It's the effect. It's the effect of God working a work of grace in a man's heart. It's the evidence. God gives life. And when a person has life, he believes. It's the new man that believes. It's the new nature that believes God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him of whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, the peace that Christ made by the blood of his sacrifice, and bring glad tidings of good things. A person must call on the name of the Lord. That's the person who has good hope. Is a person who knows he's a sinner. Go back to the text. Who is a person who has good hope? The person who is a sinner. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Depths of sin. Is a person who cries unto the Lord. The one who has right, the authority, and the power to save. Lord, verse 2 says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Here's a person who has hope. The person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as a beggar. It's the voice of my supplication. There's no hope for somebody that comes haughty and high and gonna let Jesus do something. You don't find it anywhere in the scriptures. The person who comes to the Lord comes to him as a beggar, a mercy beggar. Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. It's not a doing deals. Not a doing deals. That's the person who has hope, who comes as a supplicant. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Mercy is for the guilty. And it says here in verse 3, Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Here's the person who has hope, the person who judges himself guilty before God. If we should judge ourselves, the Lord said, we'll not be judged. If we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We read it back in the study, Psalm 51. I'm going to go over there because I took note of that when it was being read in Psalm 51. A person has hope who judges himself guilty before God. Take the place of God against yourself.
In other words, what God says of me is right. Not making excuses. Not making excuses. The psalmist said, I have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression. I am the sinner. I acknowledge it's me. It's not my environment. It's not my parents. I'm the one that is guilty of sin. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. What you say of me is right. I am a sinner. I'm undone. Enemies by nature. Enemies in my actions. The natural mind is enmity against God. You say that to a person, he says, well, I've never been an enemy of God. I've never been an enemy of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. By nature, all men are enemies in their mind to God. It's a personal judgment. Notice what he says in our text. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If you call, this is an acknowledgement that if God calls us to give an answer for our best deeds, the scriptures reveal that our righteousnesses before God are as filthy rags. The only righteousness which God will accept is the righteousness of His Son, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His righteousness, we are righteous. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Apostle Paul said this. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, before the Lord revealed himself to him, he said, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, the things that were gained, all that a man counts as good in himself. God will acknowledge this. God will acknowledge that other. But what things were gained unto me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. I don't want to be found in anything, not even in his preaching. The Apostle Paul said, I don't trust in my preaching. I don't trust in my faith. I don't trust the fact that I'm an apostle. My trust is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be found in his righteousness, in his obedience. When the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, one with God the Father, came into the world and was made flesh. He took on a body. And in that body, in that humanity, he obeyed God's holy law. He established righteousness here on the earth as a man. And it's that righteousness that all the people of God are dressed in. All the people, that's the only righteousness God accepts. It's His righteousness. It's our right. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. I don't want to be found in that righteousness of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in Christ to be saved by the faith of Christ. We don't believe in our faith. Our faith never died for anybody. Our faith didn't save us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look over here at Psalm 130 again. As a person who judges himself. Number 4. Verse 4. Here's a person who has hope. A person
who believes God's word. A person who believes God's word. You see what it says here? But there is forgiveness with thee. There's forgiveness with thee. Where did he come up with that? Where did he come up with it? We don't have a right to say anything of God that God doesn't say first of himself. But he's saying here, there is forgiveness with thee. Belief. He believed God's word. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did he get this? Well, God said that of himself. Look at Exodus chapter 34 with me. Moses had seen the miracles that our Lord, that God performed in the wilderness. But Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. I beseech thee, show me your glory. That's a strange request, seeing all those miracles that the Lord performed in the land of Egypt. But he knows that there is a principal glory. A principal glory of God. And this is what God said. I'll show you my glory. He said, verse 18 of chapter 33. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said unto them, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face, see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall be, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The only place we see, only one we see the glory of God in is in the face of Jesus Christ. But in chapter 34 it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is his chief glory. How that God can be merciful, how that God can be much merciful and still be just. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious. You see that? Merciful. God says he's merciful. He's going to show mercy. It's his nature. It's one of his principal attributes. He's merciful. And he's gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Look at this. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and the fourth generation. Being merciful, long forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. How's that? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, and when he was made sin for us, the justice of God, the justice of God fell upon him, the substitute, and he died in the room instead of his people. He died the death that we deserve. And we are made the righteousness of God in him. Well, that's the only way. That's the only way. A person that believes God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is their forgiveness? There is forgiveness with thee. That's the person who has hope. The one who believes God. If a person doesn't believe God, I don't care what they believe. They don't have hope. If a person doesn't believe God concerning his word and his word, the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have a hope. They have a false hope, perhaps, but they don't have a hope. A person has hope who believes God's word. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be worshipped. Thou mayest be feared. Here's the next thing. The person has hope who waits on the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. Waiting on the Lord is trusting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, fainting in the arms of the Lord. Lord, if I'm going to be saved, you're going to save me. I can't do anything to contribute anything. Waiting on the Lord is trusting in the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. From beginning to end, those who wait on the Lord. I wait on the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Waiting on the Lord is trusting in His word. The scriptures say in Psalm 138 verse 2 that He has magnified His word above His name. In thy word I put my hope. My hope is in what God has revealed in this word concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no knowledge of God apart what's revealed. This book is a book, a hymn book, a book of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation of God. No man has seen God ever. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has revealed Him, and He reveals Himself in His word. In His word do I hope. I hope in His word, which is a sure foundation. I hope in the word, the incarnate word. My trust is in, my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the psalm is. A person has hope who has his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. People, one time, somebody came to me one time. I'm trying to pick this up. Somebody came to me one time. They brought this little certificate. It was their certificate of baptism. The people do that. They have their certificate, diploma. And that's supposed to impress somebody. But that's their diploma of baptism. But people all over the world are hanging on to their membership in their church, or hanging on to some baptism that they were dunked when they were little. Listen, our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. A person may better have more than a piece of paper when he comes before the throne at that last day. Christ in you is the hope of glory. A new creation, a new creature. There's no other hope but Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word, in His Son, in the incarnate word, in the word written, is my hope. I have no knowledge of God apart from what He's revealed in His word. Here's the next thing. A person has hope who continues to hope. You know this. Salvation is not an experience in the past. Salvation is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom coming? It says in the book of Hebrews, these all died in faith. That's how you know someone really believes. They die believing the Lord Jesus Christ. They keep coming. They keep coming until the Lord comes for them. My soul doth wait. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. One day that morning is going to come. That morning when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for His people. That's the person who has hope, who continues to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look at verse 7. Let Israel, all of God's chosen people, have reason to hope. Lord Jesus Christ, the Israel of God, those whom He chose. Who is Israel? He's Jacob. He's Jacob by nature. Supplanter. But this is what God said of Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Israel have I hated. Esau have I hated. All those who are chosen of God, chosen before the foundation of the world,
Because God has set his love on his people, they have hope. A sure hope. A blessed hope.
Let Israel hope in the Lord. And here's the reason. For with the Lord there is mercy. God is going to show mercy to his people. All lost in Adam. All sinners. Dead in trespasses and sin. But he's going to show mercy. He's going to bring honor and glory to his name in the saving of his people. He's going to, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, talks about the work of God the Father and the salvation of his people, the work of God the Son and the salvation of his people, and it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Let all Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. There's plenteous redemption. Salvation, plenteous. You know, God's people are not going to get into heaven as to say, barely make it there. Nobody's barely making it there. Those who are saved, those who are in the presence of God, are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that put away all their sins. They're dressed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. There's plenteous redemption. Comfort ye my people, the Lord said. Tell them, speak comfortably to their heart. Tell them their warfare is over. Tell them they received double for all their sins. Not only a payment to put away the sins, but also righteousness. You know, it's not like here's the zero line. If you think about a math, everything below is minus and everything above is positive, but you got the zero line there. It's not like we need a positive righteousness to stand before God. Not only just our sins paid and we got the zero line, but we must have a positive righteousness. And that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, he is our right. He is our life. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ is the life of his people. There's plenteous redemption. He shall save his people from their sins. How many? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is plenty, there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And notice there, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. When God says he shall, then we have hope. Then we have a sure hope. So all Israel, God's chosen people from before the foundation of the world, sinners by nature, by practice and choice, who by the word of God and the Holy Spirit are made to know their desperate condition, call on the name of the Lord, who is Jehovah saves. Call on the name of the Lord, the Son of God, the Son of David, have mercy on me. They come humbly, calling for mercy, owning his sovereign right to do with them as he pleases, judging themselves guilty and waiting on him. You see, all the Israel that is described here in verse 7, the Israel that is described here is described in verses 1 through 6. Everyone that is Israel is in this same condition, calls on the name of the Lord. Out of the depths, they call. They're made to know their condition before God and call unto him. Do you have hope tonight? The Lord reveals himself to his people and gives us hope. May the Lord bless his word.